good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and today we are going to be doing the show today live via the telephone. So at this time, it's my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry, how are you? A little bit of confusion here. I was going to call you and run through on the landline. I'm on my phone now. I know I wouldn't cut out on that, but I think it's too late for that. We've already started. So let's just go from here. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm glad to talk to all of you this evening. I am talking from home tonight, and I'm here convalescing a little bit from an accident earlier last week, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to welcome you to the show. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm at Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our number there is 740-494-2222. And you can reach us at prospectccf.com. And please also go to the Pastor Spot. You'll see videos from past radio shows that we videoed. So love to see you on there, too. And, of course, you can always call into the station at 740-383-9944. How are you, Terry?
I'm doing great. How about yourself? Or how you feeling? Okay.
I'm pretty sore and not real mobile. I've been out. I try to get out for about maybe an hour a day, and they told me to keep moving, but no lifting and anything like that. So anyway, you have any questions for me about what happened?
Well, yeah, I still don't really know exactly what happened. I don't know. I didn't know if maybe you wanted to explain or.
I had talked to you on the radio, mm-hmm. and called in the station, yeah. And I told you that I was going to be running a couple minutes late, and I wish it turned out I wasn't going to be running late at all. Mm-hmm. But I was on my way into the station last Tuesday evening, and at about, probably 5:05, I was on Gooding Road at Route 4, and almost Route 4, and I got broadsided by a car that was going, the crossways there. Of course, I had a straight through and was driving normal speed, and never saw him coming. And next thing I knew, I am a horribly violent crash and that I didn't see coming. So, that's kind of bizarre when you don't know where something's coming from. When you get hit that hard,
yeah,
and then I just started rolling. The truck started rolling, and I came to rest in someone's yard, 100 plus feet away, and my truck was pretty much destroyed. I saw an opening in the door that was open, and I crawled out onto the ground, and I laid there and waited for some help.
Wow!
It's been a and quite a 7 days, I guess I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, well, I guess I hate to say it this way, but I guess to look at the bright side is that you had just minimal injuries. Is that right? Or
well, we think so. I mean, not necessarily. I've had a lot of MRIs and X-rays, and they're watching. They do a lot of things. They watch blood levels to see if you have any bleeding starting internally, that kind of thing. Okay. I go back in for more back into see the trauma people this week, and then another follow up, another MRI, and initially we do know that I broke my number 11 rib, but the hematomas and the bruising is just insane. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're talking to us at least here, so.
Yeah, that's kind of what they relayed to me in the squad. The paramedic said, usually when someone has a vehicle that looks like that, we're not talking to them. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something, though. I'll be honest with you. It was quite an experience. Time slows down so much and things like that. And I remember as I was rolling, the seatbelt broke. And so I was kind of free in there. And being it was a side roll and not a front roll, for some reason the airbags didn't deploy. And I was was pretty violent, and I just remember praying, God, please don't let this next roll be the fatal one, you know, because I was the vehicle was losing all of its glass. It was being twisted and pushed in directions that it wasn't used to, and I was going with the flow, you know. But when it finally came to a rest, I just could not wait. I just crawled out on the ground. I lay there, and the first thing I did was said, thank you, Lord, I'm alive. Thank you for keeping me alive. And the first person on the scene, I told him the same thing, that, you know, I said, I can't believe I'm alive, but I thank the Lord I am. And, you know, when I looked over the track, it's like, it's sitting upright, but it's only got three wheels. The windshield's completely shattered. Driver's window's not even in the truck. The back windows aren't in the truck. Passenger's door's open. It's amazing I stayed in it. And it was just, you know, the whole truck's just twisted and smashed. Wow. And, you know, to walk away, you're right, though, to walk away from there. You know, I have no stitches. I had a lot of minor cuts, a lot of little cuts on my head. A lot of swelling on my head. I got rid of my wrinkles for a few days. My head, my top of my head swelled so much it pulled my face straight. But I lost a little cuts here and there all over, and one fairly good gash on my hand. But it just required a bandage to close it, and that's amazing. I mean, it just truly is amazing that A, I wasn't killed, and B, that I don't have, you know, severe broken bones and cuts and gashes and stitches. I really chalk it up to the Lord taking care of me. And that praying, it just amazes me how that time slows down. Because I can remember praying with every roll. I mean, like, okay, Lord, here's another one. Just hang on to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one thing that's interesting, I always wondered what it would be like to be in a wreck like that. Not that I ever desired to, but you do kind of wonder if you've never been one. And you always think that, well, I would brace myself in a rollover. Trust me, there's no bracing. It's way too violent for that. You're being tossed and hit and smashed, and, you know, you go from one extreme to the next. And it was amazing, you know, to see the pictures of the truck and people that cleaned out the truck and brought stuff to me. Everything was broke. My wallet was in my hip pocket, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When they were taking me to the squad in the middle of the road and all over the ditch were all the inside, all the cards, business cards and stuff, and my money out of my wallet.
Hmm.
I mean, how does your wallet get out and all that stuff?
Right.
End up on the road?
I mean, you'd think that'd be one of the last things, you know what I mean, or something.
The only thing that was left in my wallet when they found it, they didn't find it till the next day. The only thing left in my wallet was my debit card.
Oh, jeez.
they did have my driver's license, because the most of that stuff was picked up out of the street. But I was in someone's yard, and it was kind of a blessing. One of my neighbors here was on the way home from work and saw the accident and was the first person there. And I had presence of mind at that second enough to give her Shirley's number, and she was able to call Shirley. So it was a long night. Immediately they took me to Marion, and then Marion sent me to, they have a level one trauma at, the closest would have been Riverside, so they sent me there.
Mm.
And it was a long night and afternoon, so anyway, I'm good, I'm here.
Yeah.
But, what a blessing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, I'm obviously off work for a while.
Right.
And so that's something I'm not used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to being able to roll over at night without it waking me up. But my left side pain is just tremendous. And those are just things you deal with. But Shirley has taken time away, and she is here at home. Actually, she's been a daggone good nurse, I'll tell you. She has really been kind of doting over me, and I'll tell you, it makes you put things in perspective sometimes.
Sure. Which a lot of times, you know, we take for granted, you know, because we get that mindset that, oh, it'll never happen to us. And, I mean, you're a living example now, you know, that really things can happen to anybody. I mean.
Yeah, and, you know, you take all the little things for granted. Like, I was complaining in the last week I had a cold and whining about my cold. But, you know, 2 hours later I'm laying on the ground. Thank the Lord I'm alive and telling him to please keep me that way.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what your injuries are.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you don't know what they're at when you're laying there. You know, you've heard stories of people that walk away from an accident and drop an hour later.
Yeah.
But that's why they get you to that level one trauma. And I can't praise those people enough. I've never seen people ascend on or to send on a scene like that. It was just amazing, you know, to see how everyone just, when I got to Riverside in the trauma room, it was just like worker bees. They just came in and they're crawling all over me and yelling out numbers and checking this and doing that. And quite frankly, I couldn't keep up with all the questions they were throwing at me.
Because you know, you're trying to
get it tells you how hard their job is when someone can't respond.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, like I said, you're trying to, you know, get your wits about you and things, and you know they're asking you stuff that at the moment you really have kind of no idea, and you know things like that. And
so it was interesting week, but you know, Terry, you know, talking about these things, I think about, you know, what's important in life, and it was kind of funny. And I was in church the Sunday prior, and I was. At the end of the service, it was just some, I was talking about, you know, life and the things that, the importance of what we do and the things that we let just get in the way, that take all the joy out of living whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I'd asked the congregation, I said, you know, I'm going to confess something to you that I am a person that never stops. And I really need you guys to pray that I will be willing to put some things aside and slow down. And some people would think, well, if he's not going to do this anymore, he's not going to do that. Well, see, that's, you can't say that because, you know, as you work through these things and you listen to God, there's things that come off your plate you didn't think would, and there's things that stay on that you didn't think were going to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those things of, God, help me quit this, 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 and this. It's, look, none of these things are bad, but let's get them in perspective. You see what I mean?
Right, right, right. And, prioritizing.
And, yeah. And evidently I had been praying, but I wasn't sure it was going to be answered that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, boy, have I slowed down. I haven't been this slowed down other than a surgery in my lifetime, and that was years ago. And, you know, it's just, and I will tell you this, too, and this is something very interesting. If you're out there only to listen to this, I'm always telling you guys that you need to go to church. You need to have that church family. You need to have that support team, okay? I can't imagine what it would have been like if I would have went through this and had nobody. It would have been the loneliest thing in the world. But when that happened, because of the fact that I spend time in the community, because of the fact that I have a church family, because of the time of all those things, you know, the first lady on the scene knew me. The people in the squad knew me. I get to the emergency room and one of the ladies in the emergency room knew me. And that's a warm feeling. And then, you know, because of so many people knowing you, they contact everyone so fast. My children were there right behind the squad and Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
And then I no sooner got to Riverside, and a pastor friend of mine, Tom Walker from Columbus, was right at my bedside praying. And that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, that's something you just can't.
And immediately, you know, the amount of people that were praying, and I was getting calls the next day, which were hard to take because I really couldn't talk.
Right.
But people calling me to check and saying, hey, by the way, we've got a prayer chain going over here and one going over here. I mean, even in several states. And all that comes through, honestly, it comes through the association with being around people that care for other people in the church. You know, if this would have happened, if the same thing would have happened 30 years ago, aside from my family, I'd have been, you know, there wouldn't have been all that support and prayer. And trust me, I can feel it. I know it's there. And that's one of those things I tell people, you need a support system. You need those people that care for you. And, you know, even as far as how you eat when you get home, you know, I came home and immediately people wanted to know, what can we bring over? You know, what can we do? They knew Shirley was busy with me. And she was worn out from being at the hospital, too. And you know, that that whole thing. I don't know how people do it long term. I really don't. Because just the driving back and forth and the gasoline and you know, trying to keep two households going. And for people that have long-term medical issues with kids especially, and I know several, I just want you to know that my prayers are with you, and I don't know how they do it, because just, you know, a couple days, and really they felt there wasn't anything they couldn't monitor at home. And I was back in the doctor the next day, and then I was back in last night again. They needed to take my blood again because I had some hemoglobin levels that were dropping. And, you know, all those kind of things going on. But, you know, I have enough people that have been attentive to me that I'm here. And it's kind of like being in a care facility, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But and I've got friends that call me, Pastor, if there's anything you need at all, let me do that for you. Right now, we've got Pizza with Pastor going on tonight at the church, and Barry Baxter came over, and he got the book for it, and he's meeting the kids tonight and doing Pizza with the Pastor. And, you know, those kind of things. You know, I have another fellow told me today, tomorrow night we have prayer meeting. He said, I'll be doing Bible study and prayer meeting for you. And immediately we had a fellow that preached on Sunday on short notice. And all those things that happen, it's just such a blessing to see that.
It's nice when you have, you know, when you have people like that that can come in and, you know, take care of that kind of stuff for you.
It is, and, you know, they're not doing it for money.
No.
And they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it because they want to be there, and they want to help and do what they can. I had, you know, Clint, you met Clint at the fellow that was in a bad accident a couple years ago, had to reconstruct his face. He's been on the show.
Mm-hmm, yep.
He came inside the hospital most of the day on, what day was that? Wednesday, I think. Yeah, he sat in the hospital most of the day. You know, knew that he couldn't do anything, but he just sat there in case Shirley needed a break or whatever, you know. Sometimes it's good to have that second ear, too. And my daughter Heather was there the whole time. You know, they need that ear. So if you miss something, because, you know, it's funny. Four people can hear the same thing, and someone will hear it differently. Or I certainly wasn't hearing anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just that way. I mean, you just pretty traumatic, I think. And I think the shock to your system is so hard that everything kind of reboots a little bit. But I'll tell you, I'm being as comfortable as I can be. I can't lift anything for a while, I'm sure. And it's really going to put me out of sorts a little bit with all the other things that I do that I can't do, and that's very frustrating. So as my family told me, including my siblings and church members, it's time you just sit back and heal right. And that's good to know I have that support.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the best advice that anybody could give you, you know, is that you do. I mean, you know, maybe this was your message, you know, to slow down, you know, that because, you know, I know you're a pretty active guy and you're involved in a lot of different things. And, maybe this was your sign to slow down.
Yeah, you know, I was talking, it's funny, I was talking to Barry, the Vital was doing Team Kids or Pizza with Pastor tonight. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, we're both, he's younger than I am, but not too far behind me.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about, he's a lot like me and always getting his hands on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And he said, it's so hard when you get to be older and you realize that you just can't do what you set out to do. And you still want to, in your mind, you're still 20. And it's so easy to take on things, but maybe it was something that would take you 2 days before. but now it's going to take you 2 weeks, and then you might not have done it right. And you have to learn to do that slowdown process.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I'm so stubborn and can't do it on my own, maybe God decided to show me the hard way.
Yeah.
Do it with a little bit of pain so it sinks in, right?
Right. I'm trying to think how to word this. Has this accident, like, changed your outlook, I guess? You've probably already answered, but has it given you a different perspective on different things, or?
You know, it's just kind of been a continuation of the change of perspective that I've been going through in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let's just call it the icing on the cake.
Okay.
One thing, you know, you don't cut at things. You have to learn, you know, my truck is the type of truck I always wanted.
Uh-huh.
And I put it together the way I wanted it put together, and had it done the way I wanted it done. And I enjoy driving it. I enjoy being in it. And now look, it's just a pile of twisted metal.
Right.
But so what's that tell me? You know, don't covet things.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah,
really amazing.
That's what I was getting at. Was your hidden miss? That's it. That's what I was getting at right there. Okay.
What's that?
I said, that's what I was getting at right there. You just answered it. I was trying to, you know, I didn't know if there was like an underlying message, maybe, you know, it's like a kind of like an unspoken message that maybe we, you know, we hadn't received, or?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things. Like, you still heard me okay? Are we coming through okay?
Yeah, you're coming through perfect, yeah.
Okay. You know, it's been real interesting. I was praying that day. Sometimes we get so busy, and we get taking things on ourselves that we just don't feel the Lord's presence the way that we'd like to. And I'm not a big emotional guy when it comes to that. I believe that things are what they are, and you don't have to always feel the Lord's presence to know He's there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing you know. It's not a thing that you always feel. Feelings can be a real tricky thing. But anyway, I've been praying for the Lord to feel His presence and just feel that. And, you know, wow, if I didn't, you know, because I knew I truly felt His presence, and I was just overwhelmed at the fact that I came out of that vehicle the way I did. And, you know, yeah, I'm banged up for crying out loud. I could be dead or maimed or paralyzed. You know, there's so many things I could be.
Yeah.
And I know that when my wife saw the wreck, she just thought, wow, you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then to see me now, it's kind of like, and I've seen people walk through things, come through things before. And I heard people say, well, that's just fate and coincidence. I don't believe in that. I don't believe anything's fate and coincidence. You know, I'm 61 years old. I should have been beat up like a smashed pretzel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my bones aren't rubber anymore. None of those things. But, you know, I stayed pretty elastic through this deal. Totaled the other guy's car.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what my question was going to be. How'd that guy, is that guy okay, or?
You know, he was a young guy, skinny kid. His airbag deployed, pinned him between the seat and the airbag, so he wasn't hurt.
Okay.
And but on my end, it was a different story.
Yeah.
I could not tell you exactly how the impact happened or went, because I saw absolutely none of it.
Yeah.
1 minute I'm driving, and in a millisecond, I'm hearing things crunching and slamming me, and I don't see anything outside of the vehicle. I mean, I'm just, it was pretty bizarre. But I never went out, you know.
Mm-hmm. You still...
Yeah, God's good. God does wonderful things.
This accident that you were in, I mean, do you think now, and like I say, I know in a roundabout way you've kind of already answered this, but do you think that this has made your relationship stronger with God now, or, I mean...
Oh, absolutely. I think that in our life, Terry, I think that every time we go through things and we trust and lean on the Lord, that we come out of it stronger. I think that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're told in Scripture to have joy in those various trials because of what they do. They produce endurance and strength and trust and faith. And that's just the way that works. I mean, when you trust the Lord and come through a trial, next time a trial comes up, you think, well, you know, I'm yeah, he's carried me through. And it's not always the way we want to. You know, when I had the congregation a week ago in church pray for me to feel closer to the Lord and slow down a little bit, I certainly wasn't praying to have a really bad car accident.
Right, right, sure, I understand, yeah.
But sometimes the Lord does things in his way and in his time, mm-hmm. and he allows things to happen that will help us grow. Mm-hmm. And we don't... you know, always get the rosy end of things all the time, mm-hmm. because sometimes we don't learn through. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone will tell you that's ever grown or learned a lot in their life. You always learn and grow more through trials than you ever do through good times. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So,
you have to have faith. You have to keep looking forward. You can't. The woe is me stuff don't cut it. You know, mm-hmm. I was. Laughed the other. I was telling Shirley yesterday. I said, let's see. Starting New Year's, okay. Mm-hmm. This is just since January 1st. January 2nd. Was it 2nd or 3rd? 2nd, I think. We went snowboarding with the family. Had a great time. Or tubing's what it was. We went tubing. So since that time, right after that, I got a terrible cold. But before that could even happen, the night after going tubing is when I got kidney stones that I'd never had before. And went in, and that was horribly painful, and a several-day process of getting through that. And then the head and chest cold got worse, and it turned into an ear infection. And right as I'm coming out of that, this happened. So it's been an interesting first of the year for me. And I was telling Shirley, with all these things, now I could be a pessimist and say, you know, oh, what's next? What's next? And you know what? Terry, there may be something next. I don't know. Yeah. But I'm just going to give it to the Lord and trust him for the next. And there's always going to be a next. Why look for it, right?
Right.
Yeah. And if you trust God through him, it gives you a lot better perspective.
Yeah.
I've got a house that I'm... a rental property I have that was just a couple of days away from getting completed with some work we were redoing in it. And now it's completely on hold. And, you know, that's not only a financial hit, but it's a frustrating hit. But I can't sit and worry about that stuff because I can't do it. So what's the point in worrying about it?
Exactly. It's kind of out of your hands right now anyway. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it really is. I could be bullheaded and go over there and hobble around and grab myself in pain and make things a mess and do a poor job and end up more injured down the road. Or, you know, you don't play around with broken ribs, that's for sure. That can cause a real problem. And, you know, you got to let all that internal stuff start healing up from the bruising and the swelling and hematomas and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird, you know, that, you know, it's I remember when I was in the emergency room that night, I said, man, my underneath my my right arm was just stinging to beat the band. I said, what is that? What is that? And everyone kept looking and said, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Well, 2 days later, this little black dot starts. And within 3 days, I had a bruise the size of a softball. It was that deep of a bruise, you know what I mean?
Oh, geez.
And I've had those appearing everywhere.
Wow.
My back, one of my grandsons told me it looked like a Batman emblem across my back. It's black, and it's in the shape of a bat from one side to the other.
Hmm.
And, you know, just things like that. I had a, they said, well, what is it? I don't see any marks from the seatbelt. And 2 days later, this belt line starts coming to the surface, you know.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's a lot of deep stuff that's working its way to the surface.
Yeah.
And but you know, Terry God's good.
Yeah.
He really is. He's
always
taking good care of me.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, there's so many things that you can take positively out of this, you know. I was able to, when I talked to some different people in the hospital, to give them a word of encouragement, to tell them I trusted God. And, you know, just yesterday when I was, it was today. We're getting things confused. Must still be that head trying to get back together. But I was talking to one of the nurses at the doctor's office. She called me today with some blood results. And she said, Steve, I'm reading this chart and all the MRIs and the X-rays. She goes, I just can't believe all this. And she said, and we're talking on the phone. And I said, you know what? I said, that's the grace of God. I said, I prayed through that wreck, and I came out of it.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, the first person that I saw that came up to me, I let him know that God just saved my life.
Yeah.
And I told him in the ambulance, I told him at the hospital, I wanted everybody to know, hey, this was God, folks.
Yeah.
This isn't some stroke of luck. You know, that's what it is. And if you look at the items that came out of my truck that were in it, everything in my truck broke. I mean, for instance, my cell phone was jarred so hard that it broke internally. Screen didn't break, but it's destroyed. The everything broke. I mean, it's just really weird. I had a pair of amber sunglasses. The metal frames are there, but the amber lenses were nowhere to be found. They were in one of the side pockets of the door. It's just stuff like that. I mean, the whole truck is all stuff like that. Just every CD I had in the truck was destroyed. Now, isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing.
You know,
everything would be damaged and broken like that. You know, I mean, you would think that there would still be at least maybe one or two things still left intact, but
I had those. You can buy them at the hardware store or Menards always sells them. They look like a wall light switch with this magnetic on the back. You flip it, it's an LED light.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Looks just like a wall switch.
Yeah.
Well, I had one on my truck that was in a visor, and just stuck up in the visor. And interestingly enough, the light still works, but the entire frame on it's broke.
Mm.
And it was stuffed in a visor. I mean, that's some pretty weird stuff there.
Yeah, it is.
But it tore my shoe off.
Oh, geez.
Couldn't find my shoe anywhere. They couldn't find it anywhere.
Hmm.
Pretty weird stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
But so, you know, when you look at all this stuff, I mean, when you look at the things, we don't know what's going to happen each and every day, do we?
Mm-mm.
And, you know, a lot of times you and I had a discussion on our last show about end times prophecy, and people always worry about what's coming down the road. This is a prime example of you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right?
Exactly.
You know, who can guarantee tomorrow? No one can. The Bible tells us that too.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us if the Lord takes care of the sparrows and feeds them and clothes them, and they don't even sow or reap, they don't store up anything for themselves, how much more is he going to take care of you that he loves?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that anything happens any day, and it does in our lives. And we have to understand that, you know, be thankful, be appreciative to God. Realize he's the one you should be living for, because ultimately he is the one that is going to sustain you and keep you, especially through eternity. I don't know why people have gotten such a bad rap that surrender their lives to God, because they're the only people in this world living in total peace. But they are.
Mm-hmm.
And other people say, oh, my life's great, I don't have God in it. Yeah, but you blocked out the fact that you need him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, you know, as a pastor, I have seen so many people have been at their bedside in their last hours. And everybody wants to be right with God. You know, sometimes I've had some friends that have had a few holdouts that say, well, okay, it is what it is, and they've just gotten so bitter, their heart gets kind of hardened that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, and maybe they're that way, but it's rare. I mean, most people at the end of their life say, you think I'm okay with God? You know, wasn't my life supposed to mean something? Why wait till the end? You know, a prime example of that is this, Terry. What if I didn't know God? What if I'd never given my life to Christ the other day?
Mm-hmm.
I could have been killed in a split second. I mean, either the impact or any one of those flips. I had a swelling on my left temple. The whole top of my head was one big hematoma that came down over my left side, clear down over my temple, that just was unbelievable. It was probably half an inch thick, the whole thing.
Oh, my.
And you think about it, that's your temple, man. You know how easy it is to get killed just being hit there?
Mm-hmm.
Could have died at any second.
You hear about that all the time.
What's that?
I was going to say, you hear about that all the time. You know, people take blows to the temple or something happens and...
Yeah, the amazing thing is that, people say, I got time. You know, when I'm right, when I want to talk to God, and I go, how do you know you have time?
Yeah.
How do you know what's going to happen on the way home tonight? How do you know what blood vessels flowing through your body that is about ready to blow and you don't know it?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, the time is now for people to come to the Lord and understand who He is and get their life right. I told a friend of mine that went through a divorce a while back, and it was a hard divorce. It was, they say there's never a no-fault divorce. I would say, as far as one person or the other, I would say in his case, he was really blindsided after many, many years. And anyway, he was just miserable. And then after a couple of years, he started wanting to date, but that wasn't working, and he couldn't meet anybody that was, he felt comfortable with, and he didn't want to be lonely the rest of his life. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, forget about it. You get your heart right with the Lord. Find your comfort in Him and what He's doing in your life, and He will bring someone in your life when you're right with Him. And that's what he did. And, lo and behold, he had come to me and said, I'm pretty content. The Lord's got me where I want. If I don't have anyone in my life, I'll be fine. I just want to, and this is after a while, right? He no sooner had come to me and told me that 2 weeks later he met someone. They're getting married May 2nd.
Oh, wow.
He met him a year and a half ago. They're getting married May 2nd. See? Mm-hmm. So God sometimes says, I'm going to give you what you want, but you need to get things right with me first.
Yeah.
And as I look into my I guess I'm in the home stretch of my ministry. Maybe not, I consider the next 10 years to be, if I'm going to be running for the goal, the prize, I better be running and harder. But I don't mean doing more. But I think that, if my ministry as a servant of Christ is going to culminate into what it should be, I do need to clean my plate. I do need to focus more on Him, know that He's there beside me, know that He's got a purpose for me, that I've always known that it needs to be a closer walk, a deeper walk with Him. There was a song, I brought this up a few times before in other places and in church, the Jesus movement back in the 60s and 70s, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those people were really, really, everything gets hijacked by the wrong people sometimes. But that movement started from people that really were searching, and some people that really, really found they needed the Lord and what it really meant. Not some stiff-collared, legalistic church setting, but I need to pour my heart out to Jesus, and He wants a relationship with me. And that song that they used Day by Day that was in Godspell, and I know there's negative things, people talk about Godspell, that's not what I'm talking about. You remember the song Day by Day?
Yeah.
there's just a few simple, very simple words to that song, and they repeat it. It's day by day, these things I pray. To see thee more clearly, mm-hmm. to follow thee more nearly, to love thee more dearly, day by day by day. And that song just repeats that. Now, if you think of those three things, to see thee more clearly would be an understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
A deeper understanding. To follow thee more nearly means to walk closer. And then to love thee more dearly, to draw closer to the Lord. That's all he asked from us. So my question is, what's so hard about being a Christian?
Shouldn't
we can't do it on our terms. It's not a thing where we can decide what a Christian is. I commented on a post the other day that someone made, because it was just a bizarre post. It was about, you know, we're this kind of Christian, but it's okay because that's what we are. First of all, calling yourself a Christian does not make you one. Being a Christian is the fact that you understand that God sent his son to this earth to die for your sins, and they'd be paid for on the cross of Calvary, and he took on the sins of the world, and he did that. When you accept that free gift that he gave us, it covers your sin through eternity, and you believe that he died and rose again so we can defeat death also, and one day we'll be joint heirs with him in heaven. And you believe that, but it's not just a matter of saying in your head, I believe this. It's a matter of saying, I'm going to turn my life to him so that not only do I believe it in my head, but I believe it in my heart.
Yeah.
And that's what a Christian is. So if that's a Christian, and if God thought enough about sin and detested it enough, that he sent his son to pay for it, and if then, on top of that, even after that, he had it written down in a book so we'd understand what some of these things were and why. Mm-hmm. You know, the instruction book, so to speak. Shouldn't we pay attention to it?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
What kind of audacity do we have when we look at God and say, you know, God, I know you did all this stuff, and that's pretty cool, and I want to accept that. But by the way, this stuff over here, I don't agree with that, and I'm going to do it my way. That's not surrendering to a God. That's not surrendering to the Lord. That's still keeping self. And I think that as I get older, the more I learn to relinquish self, mm-hmm. the closer I draw to the Lord. And most people, you know, they hear you say that, they cringe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they think you're some right-wing fundamentalist fanatic. That there's nothing fanatical about me at all.
No.
You know, I have more peace with my life than I ever have been. If I ever was fanatical, it might have been in my younger years, and they may have been over issues.
Right.
People get fanatical over issues because
sure.
they need something to cling on to.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's just like today. You know, as a Christian, what time is it, Terry? I do not have a clock.
I was going to say, Pastor, we got about 3 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
This time has flown by.
Yeah. As a Christian, I care more about people every day, and God puts that in my heart. It has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And just like today, I posted something talking about some girl that they tried to abduct at Walmart in Marysville.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt compelled to put out there, I said, look, ladies, or anyone, if someone tries to abduct you by force with a knife or a gun or whatever, you fight, scream, and yell, and don't, whatever you do, don't get in that vehicle, because once you're in it, you're dead. And if you fight them, they're not going to shoot you when you're getting away. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. That's just to scare you to get you in the vehicle. And I said, just fight to the end, because you're done once you're in there anyway. And eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I shared, you know, the fact that we have to start having more understand that there's quality in life, and that God made us special. And people are falling into things, Terry, that they don't love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I don't mean that in a conceited way. They should understand the creation God made in them and desire for that to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And the more that you walk in that in your life, man, you can just go down the street with a smile on your face. It's like when I came through that wreck, I could not quit telling people that Jesus just saved my life.
Right.
First thing came to my mind, I knew it.
Right. Right.
And no one called me crazy, but I tell you, they told me in the squad. I said, you know, we don't usually. They said we're not usually talking to people when we get them out of a vehicle like that.
Yeah, you were definitely definitely a miracle.
They couldn't shut me up.
Yeah.
But
all right, Pastor.
Anyway,
we got about a minute to go.
Yeah,
about a minute to go here, Pastor. So if you want to wrap it up here, then.
Yeah, you guys keep me in prayer, everyone that's out there. I could really use it, you know, to get healthy and get strong. I've got to have some more MRIs next week, and I'm going to pray those are good. They don't see anything that looks too ugly, and, you know, I get back on my feet and feel strong again, and you know, it's a good time. This is a good time of year for this to happen because it's muddy and cold outside. If this was summertime, I'd be whining a lot more.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
God bless everyone.
The Talking Place.
Take care, Pastor.
For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just think my prayer to the real God.
Hey, man, they're awesome, Nick Rose.